All right, brother, you're on.
Hello, can you hear me well?
Yes.
Good. Praise the Lord. It's a great opportunity, and thank you for the opening. Not always realizing, how what we do, what we say, whether it's good or bad, how it influences people. So it was a good reminder, and maybe an opening for the message that I'm ready to share. So thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for being there all those decades where we were receiving the word, and now we can put a little bit back, I suppose. Let me pray too as well. I know you pray, but let me pray. Father, I thank you very much because we have gathered because of you. You have something in mind. And this is not just for this time, I mean this Sunday or this time, but this is for much greater picture. And I pray, Lord, that you would help the people who are gathering here to see the bigger picture, to understand, Lord, what you're doing, what you were doing since the beginning, and where is a role in it for every single one of us, individually as well as gathered. In these meetings, Lord, that we would encourage one another for a greater calling, because that's what you have in mind, and that's why you have created us, called us, and died for us. Help me, Lord, to convey what's in my mind, and I believe on your heart. Help me, Lord, that I deliver it as you intended, and that the hearts would be opened, and that we can benefit from it and run. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, good.
Amen.
Are you trying to say something, Mark? Are you're muted, but it seems like you're waving.
You can't keep talking
There.
at you. Do you want to?
Okay. We've been having some technical trouble today. Can everybody hear and can everybody see?
Can
Yes,
you see?
in Canada, we are hearing you and we are seeing.
Can you see the speaker now? Because we got a text message saying that they couldn't see the speaker. Everybody's thumbs up if you can see the speaker.
It's
Okay.
better now. The share
Yes.
screen was still up a minute ago, but it's better now.
Oh,
All right.
okay. Thank you for
All right.
letting us know.
Okay, go ahead, Martin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I actually got a request from Brother Mark that I should share this particular word that I shared some time ago. I don't know exactly when, but this is short after the war in Iran has started. And if you want to give it a title, I would call it Get Ready for a War in a Time of Peace. And by the way, I don't mind if you shout or jump into it, ask question. Or perhaps double check what my pronunciation can say wrongly. So I don't mind if you interrupt there. What was it about? I have a I don't know how happy my wife will be because she's not expecting it, but she's just sitting. I'm calling her.
Hello, brethren.
God bless.
You're welcome. God
This
bless you.
is my wife Christina, and why I'm speaking about it is that the whole thing started with us going for a trip. And we went because we had 30th anniversary this January, I believe. The idea was we go, somewhere nice. Somewhere we normally wouldn't go, and we thought, well, maybe this is a good opportunity. And it was leading via Dubai in the Emirates. I actually traveled via Emirates many times to Asia. I see there Brother Alan and others, Africa. I see some brethren there. And so for me, Dubai is a hub. And why I'm saying this, Because I was able to observe Emirates and Dubai for a couple of decades, actually. I was even working there for a short time 20 plus years ago. And the situation is that the Lord has revealed to us prior to going that we will be in a war, and yet we were assured that we had a peace to go. Maybe that's not the best way to say goodbye to your children, which are most of them adult now. But I was leaving on Thursday, and I told the kids, and I said, "Children, do not be worried. We know what we are doing. The Lord has put it in our heart. But I'm not sure, but either tomorrow on Friday or on Saturday, the war will start." Not very comforting, but we said, "Lord, will be with us regardless of this." Also, we knew, because being around in that area, that regardless, the war will be mainly between the US, Israel on one side and Iran on the other side, the other states will be immediately involved in the war, which is including Dubai. I'm saying Dubai, but I mean the Emirates in general. We are there Saturday morning. Surely the war started, and we knew we go back to the hotel, and in an hour Dubai was involved. What was interesting, because we knew Dubai will be involved, but we were not sure about the magnitude. But over the next hours and days, we are now talking Saturday and then Sunday, Monday, and so on. We were bombarded by literally hundreds and hundreds of missiles and drones, the Shahids and all this. However, what was interesting, all the missiles were, now what's the word, intercepted? Intercepted before they even hit anything. And 99% of the drones were. So the damage and the situation in Dubai was surprisingly peaceful. Of course, you go out and you see the shooting and you see all these things. But you perhaps know Dubai. Maybe you traveled via Dubai, or you know from the news. It is a city of high skyscrapers and everything, you know. So hitting the hotel or hitting the place with hundreds and hundreds of missiles could be detrimental. The level of damage. We are talking about a place even greater in a sense of buildings than New York, or you know, or any other city of skyscrapers. So I believe the Lord wanted us to be there. We were not there for too long, because just on Thursday, just a few days, not even a week, just on Thursday, we took a regular Emirates flight back to Prague, which is crazy too. You know, I mean, you have all these war going on, and you're sitting on a plane, and they say, "Well, we have to wait for a moment. Now is the time to go." And you take off, and there you go. You know, crazy. Why I'm saying this? This is not to praise Emirates, but even though, in a way, you could. Of course, there are many other things where we disagree with them, starting with a basic religion and other things. But we are big enough to put this aside for the moment and understand one thing. I realized that the weaponry, the readiness, and the triple shield, again, if I say something, ask me or interrupt me, the triple level of shield over the city and over the state, and their ability and their defense system was unbelievable. We always knew Israel has good one, the Iron Dome and all this, but I didn't realize, actually partly I did, but I didn't realize to what extent they have built their shield and their ability to defend against the enemy shooting, Iran in particular, but not just Iran. It is actually so sophisticated that it became the best, if not, I mean, one of the best, if not the best in the world. What is, however, interesting, you understand why Israel is building their Iron Dome, because they are constantly in a war. You know what I mean? It's the mentality we are being attacked nonstop. So it make all sense to be defending ourselves. People understand it. Now I understand it for Dubai. But when I was there, and I'm talking 20 years or 22 years ago, and 20 years and 18 and 15 and 10, you know what I mean? And I'm reading and looking at this. You see that they are building all the buildings and the infrastructure. They are busy with so-called economics, we would say. Going to work and doing these things. And here and there, I noticed a little article how they bought this new F whatever 1535s, the jets and this system and this system. It's kind of like a small line. And I was always wondering, and I said, wow, isn't that an overkill? For a tiny country like this. And there was not a debate. They were never attacked. They were attacking nobody. Their kind of Switzerland mentality, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to be involved, politically. We want to do business, invest money. Don't drag us into war. So there was nothing happening for decades, not a single thing. Okay, they were not threatened. They were playing it economically very safe. And I was thinking, wow, why would they invest all this money and effort into protecting when nobody's even threatening? And I believe God has put us there in the time of the war to understand. And he started to speak to me and say, Martin, this is the problem of the Western society. And even though I'm from the Czech Republic, we consider ourselves for many decades as a Western society. And I'm not criticizing Western society, brethren, as the mindset, the mentality of complacency, of doing our economics, building and being rich and prospering. And this is good and often from God, but we have the mindset, we all do. And I'm speaking, perhaps maybe the Lord just spoke to me and I'm dragging you into my affair, but the Lord was talking to me about prosperity of daily lives, and you do things. And since you are not in a war directly, necessarily, you might be thinking that the enemy is not either. And then I noticed Europe, and I noticed Europe with Russia and other areas. We kind of came into this idea that when we are not, playing war and getting involved, the enemy is not either. Kind of like like an appeasement mentality, or kind of like a deal with the enemy. Let's each mind our own business. But you are very surprised when the war starts. It's not that the enemy started the war and they started to put their ducks in a row. They did the last 20 years. You know what I mean? I mean, Iran was doing Russia and all these other countries. And I'm not speaking about the people of Iran, by the way. You would be surprised when all this is over. I mean, really, really over. I hope this will be really over, not just, medium. We know some people from Iran, and actually Iranian people are good people. The Persians, it will be quite a good country, friend of the Western civilization, and a lot of Christianity opportunities and all this. So I'm talking about the regime. I'm not talking about the people. Okay. So what I'm saying is, you see the regime, which is devilish in principle, it's devilish in doctrine. And this is what we have to understand. The devil is not us just confused. The devil and his mentality is to kill and destroy you, your children, your families, your wives, your husbands, your country, your church. And it doesn't matter if you stop warring, if you stop investing into your weaponry. And of course, our battle is not against blood and flesh. We understand that we are here speaking spiritually at this meeting, okay? I'm not suggesting we buy weapons. Of course, on a government level, that's a different story. We should be able to defend ourselves. But I'm speaking about the mindset, and it's difficult. It's easier for countries like Israel that are constantly in a war. to be aware of it and fight back. Maybe you have a season in your life that you are in a war. Something is happening with your child. Something is happening with your personal economy. Something is happening with your health. And there we are fighting. We are praying, asking people to pray. We are fasting. We are, you know what I mean? We are reading scriptures. We are calling to God. But God wants us to be more mature and go beyond that. He wants us to see spiritually beyond the peace that is currently in our lives. Amen. Because we are in constant talk with the Lord, He gives us intelligence. You know what I mean? Intelligence, not like IQ, but the data from the enemy's camp. And it could be just days apart, it could be weeks apart when we are ready to fight because we are getting ourselves ready for the combat. We understand the enemy and the mentality, and we understand that they are not minding their business, that we are their business. You know, this is something we have to realize. The enemy and their doctrine is that they have no other business than to hate God and us. They have nothing else to do. You know what I mean? I mean, the Iran regime, they are not building up the country. They don't care for their people. You know, the last data I have seen, it seems, and this is from internal intelligence from Iran, they have recently killed 96,000 of their people. You know what I mean? I mean, they went and they were shooting because they got money for anybody they shoot during the demonstrations. They didn't shoot everybody to death. So what they were doing, it's actually smart, devilish smart. They went to hospitals and they were looking for anybody who had a wound from being shot. It means they were at a demonstration. They are being treated. It could be a minor thing. They just shoot them to their head right there in a hospital on the hospital bed. You know, so what I'm trying to say, the enemy, they have no regard for life, whether it's your life or whoever else's. So understand, please, that the enemy has no other business. They are not building a country. They are not building society. The devil knows he's done his toast, and the only thing is he wants to do as much harm as can to the people of God. I'm not telling us to be threatened. No, just to be alerted. Amen. So when we were there, we realized it is actually very mature and smart, spiritually smart, to be aware of these things and understand that the war will be over when it's over. There's no discharge from the battle before it is over. And we, when we are currently, whether personally or as a country or society, in a time of peace, like the Dubai was for decades, we have to be aware of the plans of the enemies, and we have to understand that we have to get ready now. Amen. So that's the message. Let me go to scriptures, if I may. But this is what the Lord was talking to us while we were on our honeymoon. Maybe not the best version of honeymoon. I don't take this as a recommendation necessarily, but frankly, I wouldn't trade this experience. And we still might go somewhere more peaceful eventually. Anyway, I go to 1 Peter 5:8. It's 1 Peter 5:8, and it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeing whom he may devour." This is just to confirm the mindset I was talking about. Amen. So be sober and be vigilant. It means don't be involved mentally into your business without realizing you are in a war. It reminds me now, Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, they were with one hand using the tools, you know, and building the wall, and having a sword in the other hand. In other words, it's not fully convenient, is it? You know, you like to have both hands available for the word, but we can't afford it because we are aware we are surrounded by the enemy. Maybe because of my age, season of life, and what I'm talking about is mainly the children. I'm aware of it a lot from this perspective. The last few decades, couple decades, where in many ways, I had children, they were growing, becoming teenagers, being adult. My daughter's actually getting married this year. That's the plan at least. And you are aware that you can be very involved in the basics. Again, school economy, doing this, doing that. And if you are doing well, maybe you go skiing, you go beach, whatever there is. And if you are not careful, and the devil doesn't mind to wait decades, bang, you realize that the devil was all the years while we are, doing basic things, the devil is all the years working how to undermine all the things that you are trying to do. And trust me, the devil is there, and they are coming after us and them and whatever. So it is more difficult. And what we did over the years and decades, individually as well as families, as well in this, as well as the fellowship, whoever knows us or whoever visited us, that we are a fellowship known for being, I would say, a little worried about the second generations, possibly third for somebody. And we invested for decades since the beginning into camps and youth retreats and teaching. And we had homeschooled our kids, and they were every day started with a message, with a Bible study. And we had zillions of Bible studies till today. We have very strong youth in a sense of course they have zillion things to overcome, big time, but the way they are gathering and they are doing things and they're working together, and the fellowship is growing, and it's growing a lot also because of the youth. I shouldn't call them children anymore because some of them are like 27, 28, and they are gathered, and they are sometimes they would come and preach. And do different activities. So it is important not to wait, but since they are small, do all these activities and fight the enemy, fight the devil, pray, fast, invest into the camps, take them to the meetings, involve them. And I'm taking this as an example, but it's the mentality of do things when it doesn't seem it's necessary. And of course, I could be speaking about your health. I could be speaking about your spiritual health. I could be speaking about marriages. I could be speaking about, any other area where we need to be sober and vigilant, even though it doesn't seem like it's necessary. But be aware, take it as an intelligence. That the devil is going around, and the only thing is that he's seeking whom he may devour. Whoever is available, he will devour. Amen. Another example, just to see the difference in the mindset, is if you go to Joshua with me, Joshua 6, first. And I know I'm preaching the choir here, but the story how they were, of course, after 40 years they were crossing Jordan up north. Okay, it wasn't the original plan, by the way. Okay, they were supposed to enter the country, 4 years ago without going all the way via Jordan today. I mean the country of Jordan. And now they are ready to cross Jordan, and they are ready to hit enter the land and get involved into the fight. They were aware this was the first time they are entering the country, and they know they are facing Jericho, Okay, Jericho was a city. It's a city on the hill, actually. It's not far from the Jordan, by the way. If you are standing at the Jordan, you can see Jericho, no problem. And it's a little on a hill, so from Jericho, you can see the Jordan and you can see the other side. You know what I mean? And it's a city that was high walls and it was prepared and all this. And Israel was very aware that this is going to be a tough one. You know what I mean? So the mentality, because of the awareness of the war and of the battle, is, hey, let's do it properly. Okay. So Joshua is asking the Lord, the leader, Joshua is asking the Lord, and he is saying, Lord, how do we tackle this one? And in Joshua 6:2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. Yeah. So it is the direct command of God, and he says, I have delivered you the enemy. You've been preparing for this, you're ready, you can do it, I'm on your side. Just listen to my instructions and I'll tell you exactly what to do. If you are aware of the enemy and the situation, you are kind of praying and saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your input. I need your intelligence. I need your insight. Please be there. And you are entering the warfare prayerfully. You know what I'm saying? You are aware of your need for the Lord, because you are aware of the difficulty of the battle. And this is healthy. Okay, the Lord wants you to be dependent on Him and to have this mindset. So they got instruction, and we know the story. I'm not going to go to details. By the way, before they went and they were, for a week going around Jericho, doing crazy things, if you think about it. I mean, you would expect some warfare, and they are praying, they are praising the Lord. You would think we should do big warfare for our children and something, and yet we sometimes do a basic thing. We take them and we do praises, and we involve them, and we do little things for a week, and for a week nothing is happening. But it's getting ready. It's very important, and this is the way God wants us to do this. Amen. Be very aware. And there is one more thing which is crazy. If you ask me for advice, me without being spiritual, I would not recommend it. I mean, you cross the Jordan. Now, between Jordan and Jericho, there's nothing almost. So you are just below the city, and the command is now circumcise all the soldiers. Are you kidding me? Now, at this place, at the sight of them, they can watch them from the walls, really. And what's going on there in the camp? Why they are not attacking? And for a few days, the men were in situation of not really being able to fight. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Yet the Lord said, before you enter the battle, make sure that you're circumcised. And we know now that we are talking about the circumcision of a heart. We want to do battle for our children, if you want. And forgive me for coming back to this topic. It's, something big for me last many years. So you want to be fighting for your children and for other things. And the Lord says the first thing you do is you go down to your heart. We would like to, do some business in the church. We would like to do this, we would like to do that. But before, the Lord says, no, I'm not interested in the church gimmicks. I'm not interested in this or that. I want you to go deep. I want you to go and cut into your heart. Of course, one of the things we do in the fellowship over the years, we have a little programs where all the children can challenge and ask any question they want. Okay. And we study together. So, of course, when they are teenagers, they ask, hey, circumcision, what is this about? You know what I mean? If you look at it from a natural point of view, why did God suggest something so weird? You know what I mean? Why do you have to cut where you have to cut? You know? And the Lord, when we spoke about it with the youth, we were asking, can you, if you imagine for a male, imagine the most intimate part. You know what I mean? If I would be undressing, what would be the last part that I would try to keep covered? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's speaking about the most intimate part that I am really not interested in anybody to see, you know, to get into. And the Lord says, I am talking about this because I am talking about the intimacy. I don't want to do circumcision somewhere. I wanted to speak about cutting my hair, but there's not much to cut anymore. So I don't know. Some people, you know, they would think that they take care of something visible, you know, some basic behavior. Maybe I give up smoking. Maybe I stop spitting. You know what I mean? I mean, you get born again and the other things. And the Lord says, no, when I do circumcision, I want to go to the very, 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 very intimate part of your heart. Somewhere where you don't want anybody to go. Somewhere where you try to protect it, and it would be the last thing you want to disclose. Amen? So that's why the Lord in the body, in the natural, is speaking about something so strange and weird, so intimate, as the circumcision, because it's speaking about the concept that God is saying, I don't want you to be playing church. I don't want you just to be dressing up nice, you know, limit your curse words on your trip to the church, during the church, and on the trip from the church to lunch. You know what I mean? And then the children know that on the way you already are arguing, and you left the church, and your conversation goes back to the world. You know what I mean? The Lord saying, no, I'm not interested in this. That's you know, playing church. And interesting enough, enemy can tell. You know, you think you are fooling yourself, you're fooling your folks, you are fooling your children, but you're not fooling God, and you're not fooling the enemy. The enemy knows whether you have the power, whether you have done your homework. So the mentality is get circumcised before you enter the battle. Amen. Now they went and they conquered, to make the long story short, they went and they conquered Jericho. Yeah. So big victory, you know the story, and how the walls went down, and it's fantastic. In other words, the Lord is telling you, it might be difficult, seemingly, but if you obey me, if you do what I tell you, and if you go deep and check your heart and circumcise it, there's no city, there's no enemy, there's nothing that is before you that you cannot conquer. Amen? It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious mentality. Get ready for the war in time of peace, and there's nothing that can surprise you. So, surprisingly, we had a lovely honeymoon in Dubai during the war. Yeah. And surprisingly, for many people there, Israel went and they conquered Jericho like this. Fantastic victory. The problem is, this can, if you allow it, change your mentality, and you can become cocky. You know, you can say, hey, I've got this. You know what I mean? Look at us, what we can do. You know, I mean, we can conquer, we can deliver our children, and we can do this. And look how they are doing well, and see the fellowship, and see this and see that. And brethren, I have seen it over the years, you know, with me, us, whoever, maybe some of you, I don't know, you know your stories, where it looks nice, and we kind of forget that we are still in the same war. There is still the same enemy. It took them just one chapter, if you want, or one city. You know, the next city they were supposed to conquer was just the next city. They just had a victory. They knew what to do. They circumcised. They decided to put those things of the world aside. But now we are victorious. You know what I mean? Now we have the mentality we are on a winning side. Now everything is doing well. I have a good job. And actually, I'm in good health. And my kids are doing well. And the church is fine. You know what I mean? So let's plan some holidays. Let's do this. And oh yeah, we still go to church, of course. But it's the mindset like as if the war is over. It's not. So just the next chapter, Joshua 7. And it says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, okay, maybe I'll give you a little context. The next city they were supposed to conquer, now we have to help him with the pronunciation, because I would call it AI, but this is not AI. In Hebrew, it would be something like hi, or maybe in English, because in Czech it's I. What is it in English? Okay. That's okay. Nobody's helping because you're muted. That's fine. So let
We
me
would
call it.
call it
You would
AI.
call it AI, the city? Oh, really? Okay. Okay. So, but don't confuse it with the AI, please.
No.
I don't want somebody now to say we are supposed to fight AI. Yes, we are supposed to do something with AI, but okay. So let me call it AI. And they were supposed to conquer it. It was a much smaller city. It didn't have, it's not as big, and so on. I mean, this enemy, we just overcame major illness. We just overcame major split in the family. We maybe just overcame major sin. Maybe we overcame major, I don't know what. You know what I mean? This one is easy. I can handle it. So first of all, forget purifying your heart. Second, don't ask the Lord. We don't need to pray about this too much. I mean, come on, they went and sent a few spies. That's a good one. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Yeah, let's not involve everybody. Let's not go to the whole body. Let's not, you know what I mean? So they went to the city. They didn't even tell everybody. And the small city, just a few of them, as they say, they defeated Israel big time. And they killed many. It was mainly because of their attitude. Of course, you should blame the leader, Joshua, that he was not careful enough. He made a mistake. We all do. And at the same time, there's this story of somebody having an idea to steal what he was not supposed to steal. I think it was silver, it was gold, it was even a coat, and garment and stuff. So immediately there is a sin, there's an attitude, and we start losing. So what I'm saying is, what was the name of the guy in English? In Czech, it's Achan. What would it be, Achan or something like this?
Aiken.
Okay, Achan. Okay, good. So the sin of Achan, I'm talking about. So on one hand, if you compare the mentality and the mindset, on one hand you have awareness, okay, of the serious situation, and you're asking the Lord, and you have instruction from the Lord. On the other hand, you have just, well, the friends suggested. There's nothing like the Lord has said. I mean, come on, Joshua, don't you know better? The second thing is, let's circumcise and let's get holy. Against, yeah, we have stolen something. We have some money out of it. We have some gold, and so the Achan sin against circumcision. And then you have everybody involved. Everybody is aware. Everybody is praying. You have the singers. You have all this. Plus, let's just the few soldiers handle it. We don't involve the body. We don't involve the children. We don't involve the people. We have just, a few people go to mission, or you have, just few people pray, and yeah, we can handle it. But it's not what God has in mind. We are body. And when we stop acting as a body and we have the mentality, I can tackle it, God says, no, I will not give it to you. So this is a, this is quite important. However, maybe let me mention one more thing. We are in Joshua 7:3 there, right? But after they are defeated, Joshua went on his face and he is there and saying, oh no, what did we do? And then in 7:10, yeah, I like the scripture. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You know what I like on the Lord? I mean, we are like, we are always seeing this very moment. God always see the context. We are glorious and celebrating, and the Lord says, well, celebrate for the moment, but the war is not over. Yeah, we are now rejoicing over Jericho, and the Lord says, this is just the beginning. Okay, now we are down, like our life is over, we have lost it. This child is, in need, and this job I lost, and this health is, and the Lord says, wait, 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 I'm still here. We can still do it. You can still overcome. This is not the whole war. It was just the battle. Yes, you lost the battle. You haven't lost the war. So I want to warn against mentality. Have you, anybody, just raise your hand. Have you lost a battle, anybody, with somebody? Yeah, some situation. Amen. And don't we have sometimes tendency to feel this moment like we lost the war, And we are guilty and we admit guilt and all this. And also, no, this is enemy again. Because the enemy, he is, and I learned it, by the way, very early when I started to work with the Lord. It's just one lesson, if I can give to somebody, I would love to, because it helped me for all the decades of my life. What happened is, I believe I'm holy, because I was just saved. I was saved from a sinner. And I believe that when you are born again, that's it. And I was shocked. The devil tripped me just a few days later into a sin. And I'm there, and I felt miserable, and I felt, this is it. I'm not worthy it. I can't do this. You know what I mean? I've been defeated. The enemy of AI, if you want, defeated me. And what was interesting, I'm sitting there talking to the devil, and the devil is giving me all these scriptures and all these things, how God is holy and how I'm useless. Only I notice it's a devil. And I remember, like today, I looked at him and I said, well, you know what? And forgive me, I don't know how bad the word is in English, I will use it. But it was like, you bastard, you tripped me. And now, you caused me to sin, and now, or made a mistake or whatever, and now you are, bringing the guilt on me. Get lost in the name of Jesus. I will not be talking to you about it. I'm going to talk to God about it. You are lost. You go to hell. You will never recover from this, because you are Satan, you're father of lies, and I don't care what you say about this. You know what I mean? So I want us to know, if we make the mistake, and we will, and we did, to go to AI, be careless, lost some battles. The Lord is telling you and me, the war is not over. Get up. We have business to do. We are far from Jerusalem. Far from Jerusalem. I'm still Lord. I can forgive. I can tell you what to do. So each time when it happens, when you make the mistake, like we do, and you do lose a battle, the Lord is saying, don't lose the war. Amen. Go to the battle again. Check your attitude. Say, Lord, it's not lost. We will go again, and we know how to fight a battle. So go to the Lord. allow the circumcision of heart and take upon you, from Ephesians, a very important Ephesians 6, of course, because we are not fighting against the blood and flesh, but Ephesians 6, verse 10, even actually up to 17. The Lord is teaching us how to fight. Maybe I'll read the scriptures, but again, I'm preaching here to the choir, and I don't need to go one by one. Maybe I'll just read it quickly. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. Of his might, of course. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, I will not go into the particular parts of the armor of God unless we debate it here. But what is it saying? What is it suggesting that we, if I summarize it now, we should be aware we are in a battle. We should invest into getting ready and investing and fighting, even in the time of peace. With us, with a second generation of ours, or with our country, with our churches. When it's time and you have the money, you have the time, don't spend it just on economy. Don't spend it on extra things. You still can afford those, I'm sure. Go to conferences, go to camps, take the children there, travel around, teach them, buy the books, there are good movies, whatever it is, spend the time with the church. This is what we should do in a time of peace. We will need it. When the war comes, we will need all the investment we made in the last decades of peace. Three, tackle everything like Jericho. Okay, don't be deceived. Get ready, ask the Lord, get circumcised, and involve everybody. If you get an attitude that you can handle it, you will be defeated. But if you do, and it will happen here and there, and you lose a battle, don't lose a war. Get up again, keep fighting, go back to your mindset you had before, ask the Lord, and you will defeat AI with a trick, for example, as it was in their case. Because the victory is ours. I mean, actually, it is the Lord's. And if we are with the Lord, it's ours. By definition, it's not because who we are, but because who He is. And because who He is, and if we are like Him, then, of course, we have the same name, the same destiny, the same power, and the enemy knows it. That's why he's like the roaring lion, trying to see who can he devour, because if they can, they can prolong their ability to fight. Well, I feel this is where I stop for the time, for the moment, and I encourage you and encourage ourselves that we together are like the body, realizing this is the enemy to fight and that we cannot stop him from fighting because as I said, they have no other business but us. You are the devil's business. Amen.
Amen.